You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Sixteen teams, one trophy. The NBA playoffs are here, and all roads lead to the finals. Will NBA champions like Jokic and Giannis dominate the playoffs again, or will emerging stars like Anthony Edwards and Jason Tatum solidify their names in NBA history? The playoffs are where legends are made, and TNT will make sure you don't miss a moment of the action. Tune in to TNT's coverage of the NBA playoffs presented by Google Pixel on TNT, True TV, and Max.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Stugatz, you ever take your golf cart anywhere? Like just to go to like quick trip to the store or something? Or is that not really something that happens where you live?
No, I've taken it to Publix. I've taken it to the park. But it's street legal, Bill.
Yeah.
There's people in my neighborhood. There's a lot of golf carts in my neighborhood, and it makes me want one. I don't really have any use for one. It's more like a status symbol. Like, I've arrived because I have a golf cart. Like, that's the reason I want a golf cart.
Just to let people know, I'm Chris Cody. I've arrived.
Just so people in my neighborhood are like, that guy's...
That guy's rich. He has a golf cart.
That guy's living the life.
Hello, Ron.
Hey, how you doing, Roy? How's everything?
12. You know, just hanging in there.
12. Ron, do you have a golf? Ron has a golf cart. Ron has a beautiful golf cart that takes him around that zoo.
Yeah, I now have a Segway, which is actually better.
Really?
Yeah, Segway's the bomb, man. That thing is the greatest invention since sliced bread.
We're not worried about like flying forward and falling off that thing.
You know something? It becomes like one with your body. I mean, it's unbelievable. Once you get on it and you get used to it, you just are totally comfortable. I've had it now for 7 years, never fallen off. What happens is people think they got on it like a unicycle and they start panicking, and that's when you fall. You
just It's built for somebody who's 6'6".
Yeah, it extends enough and it's fine for me. Great invention.
So you
invented it, drove one off a cliff and died.
You've never fallen off.
Geez. Wow, jeez. Dark turn.
Yeah. That's true?
That is true.
Jesus, Ron, what happened?
By accident or?
We talked about that before, you know.
I don't know. I don't know if it was by accident or not.
Jeez. Shaq showed up yesterday, Ron? He just popped in or?
Yeah, he does it every now and then.
Ah, look at that. Is he your most famous friend?
No, Dan Le Batard's my most famous.
People were surprised, Ron, that you held your own in terms of height because Shaq dwarfs so many people. You actually looked like two normal-sized human beings. And
yeah, I got a lot of that. Even though his body size, you know, I got to tell you, you know, last time I saw him, I told him to his face, I go, Shaq, you're fat. You are super fat. Well, I don't know what he's been doing, but he is ripped now. That guy. I mean, his arms look like pylons. He looks like, you know, The Rock. And he's got veins popping out of his arms, and he's totally lean and ripped. He's massive. Yeah, he told me he's got some new supplement that he's taking. But whatever it is, it's working because he really is ripped. And he was fat before. I told him, I said, Jack, you need to be careful because at your size, you can't be fat, brother. You're just going to break down. And sure enough.
You said that right to his face, Ron? Right to his face, you told Shaq he was fat and that he needed to get
it was more to his neck, but yeah, I did tell him. Right.
He's very sensitive, though, isn't he? I mean,
not only did I tell him he was fat, but excuse my French, I said, you're a fat is what I told him to his face.
Wow.
What?
Wow.
What?
I did.
Ron McGill is with us here on the podcast. He is our only charitable endeavor around here. If you want to donate to Ron McGill's substantive endowment, you could do so by going where, Ron? How much money did we get out of strong-arming North Dakota by telling
thousands. North Dakota just blew me away right after that podcast. And there's a North Dakota in Australia who said, I'm not going to have the name North Dakota badmouth me. He made a donation too. But I mean, they were the nicest people on the planet. They were so nice. Instead of saying, you know what? You're a jerk for calling us what you did. They didn't even call you a jerk for saying F North Dakota, Levitard. They were so nice. They said, in honor of North Dakota, we're good people in North Dakota. And God bless it. You know what? They were right. I got so many donations. You know, of anywhere from $5 to $250. I think it was one for $500. So it's pretty incredible that those people from North Dakota really came through.
Way to go, North Dakota.
There you go. Thank you, Dan.
You were a little slow. You deserve to be ashamed, but you are indeed not people that I will say are cheap any longer and against the animals. I do think this is the way we need to do charity from now on, though, is just badger and bully people into giving money, strong-arm them feloniously. Roy, what do you have for Ron McGill?
The bald eagle population has quadrupled over the past few years. What exactly has gone into the uptake in their population?
Well, just protection. You know, the Bald Eagle Act came through. They protected these birds. They took DDT out of the environment, which was killing these birds because their eggshells would not sustain the weight of the egg when it was brooding the eggs. Why are you laughing?
No, because Greg Cody's coughing in the middle of you talking. Because he's
Greg Cody.
He's just been doing bad things to the show. I'm sorry to have stopped you.
You're not.
Go ahead, Ron. I'm sorry to have interrupted.
Anyway, the bald eagle now, listen. I just rescued a bald eagle chick where the nest was blown down here in South Miami, in the middle of a big, very exclusive neighborhood. They made a nest. Unfortunately, the wind blew the nest down. A chick fell, but we rescued that chick, and hopefully I'll be able to release it back into the wild. Just had surgery yesterday, was in surgery with the bald eagle yesterday to repair the wing. Hopefully it'll recover. We'll release it back into the wild. But if we don't, I'm going to have it as an ambassador animal, an animal that I can take to schools and take to people so you can look at a bald eagle eye to eye. Because let me tell you something. When you make that connection, when you look at a magnificent animal like that eye to eye, you'll fall in love with it. You'll become impassioned by it, and you'll become empowered by it. And that's what we need to do. We need to connect more people to wildlife.
Do you see a lot of bald eagles down here in South Florida?
Well, I do. Yes, we do. We have one here at the zoo that comes in. Sometimes it takes like our $300-$500 koi out of the pond. And I can tell, you know, the director kind of goes, oh, God, it hurts. But listen, I love it. I think this is beautiful. It's coming from some expensive sushi here at Zoo Miami.
Billy, what do you have for Ron McGill?
Ron, Godzilla versus Kong comes out tomorrow.
Yes.
Who would win in a fight, Godzilla or King Kong?
Well, now, I'm going to have to go with Godzilla only because Godzilla's got the flame-throwing capability. Okay. Kong only has his strength. Godzilla can be back a distance. He doesn't need strength. He can just torch the poor gorilla, okay? So, you know, now if it's going to be a big lizard that cannot fire flame out of his mouth, Kong's got it all the way. But here we got Godzilla that, you know, and all the freaking flame comes out. It's over. I mean, the gorilla doesn't have a chance, guys.
Do you have a favorite among the animals? Do you have a favorite where you prefer one of the animal superheroes more than the others?
I mean, I've always loved Kong. I love Kong because he was misunderstood. Kong had compassion. He had empathy. He was protective.
And superhero.
He had love. He loved her. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's special. I don't like these superheroes that, you know, are not gullible. They don't have a soft spot in them. Kong has a soft spot, and it was good and reflective of what gorillas really are. They're gentle giants. They're not the malicious monsters people make them out to be. And that was the doom of Kong, right? Because people misunderstood Kong.
Just misunderstood.
We don't want that to happen to real gorillas. So hopefully people will learn to listen from Kong and say, listen, he's just a gentle giant. Leave him be. Do not take him out of his environment. Let him keep his environment. You ruin an environment. You cut down the jungle. You take an animal out of the forest, and you put him in a metropolitan area like that. He's doomed. He's doomed.
You think King Kong and Godzilla are superheroes, you nerds. They're kaiju.
I got stuck. I didn't know what to call them. I didn't know. You're so right. Kaiju. I feel so ashamed. Of course, I should obviously know that they're kaiju.
Monsters.
Monsters. They're not monsters, Roy.
Don't say that, Roy.
Godzilla's a monster, but not Kong.
Well, Godzilla is. Yes, yes.
No, Godzilla's misunderstood too, Ron.
They're all kaiju.
Really? Really? freaking guy comes in the cities and starts flame-throwing and killing everybody on purpose?
It's not flames. It's a nuclear blast. I mean, Jesus, watch a movie.
Is that what that is? Is that a nuclear blast that comes out of his mouth?
He was created by radiation and World War II paranoia. That's why he has Pacific Rim origin, because they were especially heightened to that sensitivity, if you catch my drift.
Are you guys doing this again?
What?
Stop it, please. Come on, let's just do one of these
doing
things.
Doing what?
What are you talking about?
A Dan Le Batard email? That's what, okay? Why would I be getting an email from Dan Le Batard when I'm speaking to him live on a podcast?
Chris, you wanted to ask McGill something about his giant endowment?
Yeah, what can people do to donate to it?
No, that's not what... Chris!
I was like, what are you...
Chris, do you have...
That was quick work on your feet.
Chris, do you have in the chat, yes or no, name the state that has donated the least beside North Dakota? Did you not just write that? Mm. Like, were you not just doing the show with us, or did you forget what you had put in the chat? That's my fault? No. That's my fault.
You mentioned the endowment, and like which state. If you would have said state, I would have been triggered. That's my bad, Dan. Ron, what is the second least donated state besides North Dakota? Let's smoke them out.
Keep that all in, Mike.
They're tied. It's a tie between Mississippi and Maine.
Classic M's.
Wow. I hate both those states.
Yes, Mississippi and Maine.
Of course, Mississippi.
How weak are you guys, Mississippi and Maine? Both of you, pathetic. You hate the animals. You hate Ron McGill. You're not good people in Mississippi and Maine, and you're not even caring for the animals. You need to give to the endowment or be shamed publicly and nationally. Shut up, Ron. You're out here supporting monsters like Kong. You're out here.
Not a monster.
He's a kaiju.
He's not a monster. And listen, you know, people have had a lot of, Mississippi's had some floods. It had some rough times, man. People, I understand people have priorities. So there have been people that have donated from both those states. It's just that they're down in the lower part of the pole.
Your endowment is always my priority, Ron. I was actually thinking of this question yesterday when we were talking about off air. We were talking about the sheer size of not only your endowment, but Zoo Miami. I was wondering, have you ever had drifters and vagabonds camp out in lesser known parts of your zoo and you've had to kick squatters out?
No, you know, we do a sweep at the end of every day. Security does a sweep throughout the whole property. We've never caught anybody trying to hide. You know, we've had people, like, we used to have concerts here at the zoo. We had a concert series, but we stopped that because people just could not. They would be overserved. Let's put it that way. And we had people, you know.
You called it brew at the zoo, Ron.
No. The brew at the zoo is a different thing. But the
I saw
the
vanilla top. Ice there. I was hammered.
Me too.
I saw an alien ant farm, and the dude kept asking the audience for cocaine.
Yeah. Well, listen, Joe Walsh couldn't even finish his set. Kind of passed out on the stage. It was really embarrassing. You know, that was before he went and got rehabbed and got fixed up to do the, you know, the Eagles the right way. But no, we've had some oldies too. We've had like Doc Severinsen. We had Richard Marx. We had American Three Dog Night. That was a great concert.
Richard Marx.
Can we stop for a second? Did you just say that Joe Walsh passed out on stage and couldn't finish a concert that had how many people at
Are
it?
Are you familiar with Joe Walsh's work?
I didn't realize...
Joe Walsh clean looks like that could happen.
I didn't realize, though, that this had happened at Zoo Miami. We've started with Shaq, and we're ending with a fall down, broken Joe Walsh.
He didn't fall down, but he was like swaying back and forth and we couldn't understand the words that he was saying. And he just really couldn't finish the set. He just kind of all of a sudden on stage said something like, F it, I'm out of here. You know, he just didn't finish. It was a disaster.
What was the most memorable concert at the zoo?
I'd say that one.
That was pretty memorable. You know what? The most memorable concert was our first one, which was Steppenwolf. And that was those guys.
It's so good. It's so good. Billy, look at the smile on Billy's face.
Get your motor running.
I had that on vinyl, man.
We just went through Steppenwolf and Billy's excited. I saw Vanilla Ice. Billy, tell me about that night before we go to Greg Cody.
Oh, he sang the Ninja Turtles song, Dan. It was the best. Remember the Ninja Turtles song? Better than Ice Ice Baby, some would say. That's me. I'm the sum.
How many people were there?
Oh, it was a brew at the zoo. So there was a lot of people.
Heck yeah.
Was it so? It was the brew and not the vanilla. It wasn't vanilla ice that brought them.
Vanilla ice was the musical guest. We, you know, the other guy we had the musical guest at the zoo. Once we had what's his name, Uncle Luke, and the guy who did the dead fly in Animal House. That guy, he was hilarious. He was great.
The Isley Brothers. You had Ron Isley.
That was not Ron Isley.
No. He's the guy. I don't know what his name is now. But you know who he was. You guys know.
Otis Day.
Otis Day.
Yes, Otis Day.
Otis Day. Yes. Do you mind if I dance with your dates?
That was not Otis Day.
Really? Really, Stugat? You decided to do the impersonation of the black man. That was the choice you decided to make there.
I was just reciting a line from a movie.
Greg, you could have just recited the line without going into character that way.
I didn't know I did.
Were Uncle Luke and Otis Day performing together, or were Otis separate Day things?
There. Uncle Luke was performing with him. He was kind of like the MC with this guy. It was fantastic. It was, I mean, Animal House was a huge movie when I was in college. And to see this guy in real, and he still had it, man. He was still screaming, yeah, you make me want to shout out. I mean, he was good. They were good.
This reminiscing through Steppenwolf, like we have gone through some old-timey radio here, some old-timey music. Greg Cody has been smiling the entire time. Finally, we have found the Greg Cody wheelhouse in today's show. Greg, what do you have for Ron McGill?
Hey, Ron. Yeah, you had me at Steppenwolf, by the way. That's a hell of a first act.
No,
hey,
no one doubted that.
Well, you know, what can I tell you? Hey, Ron, I don't know if you've heard about this upscale Chinese hotel that's under fire from animal rights groups for having a polar bear enclosure. I'm wondering if what you think about that, and aren't there regulations that prevent, like, independent businesses from having polar bears, for example?
There are regulations. Unfortunately, I don't think that place is in this country. I did see it. I find it absolutely despicable. That won't last long. That polar bear will not do well in that environment, of course. And, you know, unfortunately, a lot of other countries, especially on the Asian side of the world, they don't have the type of animal protection laws that we have here. So it's just a matter of kind of a progressive evolution of educating people to hopefully take away the demand. You know, it's all about supply and demand. Greg, if people get upset about it and don't go, they'll close the business down and that practice will stop.
Is China the worst when it comes to animal cruelty?
You know, I'm not going to say China is the worst, but certainly in the East. You know, I've been to, I remember going to some markets in Thailand and in Bangkok that were just the most horrific markets I've ever seen with, you know, monkeys with ropes around their necks tied in little tiny cages and animals, snakes being bled out right in front of you. To get the gallbladder out of the snake, they kill it and skin it alive right in front of you. Just horrific, horrific practices. You know, and that started to change. And let me tell you something, you know, not to get on a real serious subject, but all these pandemics, whether it be anything from AIDS to COVID-19, these things all start, can be traced back to animals. Animals that have been taken out into their environment, put into these types of markets, cross-contaminated with people. This is nature's revenge, guys. I don't want to sound like some extremist because I think extremism in any form is dangerous. But when you start screwing around with the forest, when you start cutting down those homes and you start bringing these animals out, you're opening Pandora's box because you're opening something, you're exposing us to viruses, to different types of illnesses that have been contained, protected by the forest. Now you've removed our protection, and now you're exposing us to this. People need to understand this, man. Again, I'm not an alarmist. I'm not an extremist, but I'm a realist. Think back on all the major, major things that have affected human beings that can be traced back to animals, going back to exotic places, pulled out of natural environments.
And you're talking about these things as we see the environments all change. There's Arctic lightning. That's not something that's supposed to happen. It's never supposed to be warm enough near the North Pole for there to be lightning. But there is some sort of... I don't know what to call it, whether I'd call it vengeance or not, but the things that are happening around us that are horrifying, Ron, I'm wondering when it comes to you specifically, because of how you care about the animals, how do you feel walking through one of those markets or where, like, how do you end up in that place without sort of, you know, your heart getting broken?
You know, my heart gets broken. I have cried on many occasions going through there. But I've also photographed it so I can show people because, you know, sometimes people out of sight, out of mind. And, you know, I hate to get on a serious note, but this is kind of a show that people listen to be uplifted. But in a reality check, when I show people the images of the things that are happening in some of these places, that kind of anger, that, you know, the social media is hopefully going to spur a change in these things. It is more than heart-wrenching. Listen, Dan, you and I in our lifetimes, you know, things are going to change, but it's not going to be as drastic as it's going to be for the next generation and the generation after that. You know, one of my favorite sayings is, we have not inherited this earth from our parents. We are borrowing it from our children. We've got a moral obligation now to protect this for people. You know, how sad would it be if you go outside and you used to say, you know, there used to be, I don't know, panthers here. There used to be bears here. There used to be this there. And that's already the case in so many places. You know, when I grew up, I remember seeing so much more than what I'm able to see now. We've got to change that. And I believe the younger generation is doing that. They're doing the right thing. They're exposing people and they're shaming people. And that's where I do agree. You shame people. You shame people because you make them say, what the hell are you doing? Look at this. Okay. And we bring a reality check. And then, you know, listen, I cannot thank the listeners to this broadcast enough, because the emails that I get from people, Dan, I don't want to be sound sappy or stuff, but it has brought me to tears on many occasions. I can't answer them all. I try to respond, but I got to tell you something. It is moving, and I am profoundly grateful to you and the whole team for allowing me to have this platform to get people inspired.
Well, one more time, if I can, because I do want to explain this to the audience who go back a ways with us, and our audience is unusually supportive of our things and our causes. And around here at the moment, we only have one when it comes to charity. We could not do this as much as we wanted to when we were at ESPN. It had to always be Jimmy V. So many of you who want to support us are choosing during this particular time, as we're still free agents, and we've got exciting stuff around the corner that we're going to be able to tell you about. And I'm sorry that I haven't been able to be just a little more transparent here, but there have been some sensitivities that I didn't account for when we started this journey. But there will be things we will be able to tell you in not too much time that I'm excited to tell you about how you've supported this show and where it leaves us today. But as you've supported this show during this time, you have donated heavily to what Ron McGill is doing. And I just want the audience to know, if you haven't heard this before, that what Ron McGill does doesn't have any red tape. Like, you know, he's an authentic person. You've been listening to this long enough to know how much he cares about the animals. And he does good work with the animals. All of the money, none of it goes to him, because Ron is somebody who is not influenced by money in a way that's pretty annoying, because you can't get Ron. I want Ron to sell his prints and have money go to the endowment. I want Ron to make money doing this, because he makes art and he legitimately cares about the animals. And furthermore, there's activism to be done there when he's going through one of those markets and we're ending up in a pandemic because we don't know how to treat animals. And so if you want to support someone who supports what we do, this is the way to do it. And it's the easiest way to do it. Ron has done this show for free for more than a decade, and this is our charitable cause. So thank you to all of you who have donated. I am joking around with North Dakota, but I am not with you, Mississippi. And I'm not joking around with you, Maine, because you two can go yourselves, because of my rage has escalated to a place that I find it unacceptable to tolerate anything Maine related and anything Mississippi related right now. No, they're terrible to the animals, and Ron McGill is a loving human being who's doing the right things with his life, and you should support him better. So Mississippi, Maine, if you do not want to be shamed publicly week after week around here,
the Pine Tree State,
I will continue to say as loud as I can with as much reach as I have, you Mississippi and you Maine.
The Magnolia State.
Man, listen, I want to tell you something. In the history of the zoo, and I've been here since the zoo started in 1980, there has never been a greater diversity of donations from more places in the world since Hurricane Andrew than the Dan Le Batard listeners. And that's saying something huge. In the history of the zoo, only Hurricane Andrew do the same type of response that you have gotten on this podcast. And I don't know how to say thank you enough.
Except Mississippi and Maine.
That's right.
Oh, my God. Yes,
that's correct.
Oh, I hate them.
I hate you, Mississippi. Yep. Hate you as much, Maine.
I think that, first of all, Maine has the most beautiful fall in all the United States.
Oh, shut up, Ron. Yeah.
Shut up, Ron.
Get out of here, Ron.
It is beautiful.
Fiery.
Shut up. Shut up. You and your mustache.
16 teams. One trophy. The NBA playoffs are here, and all roads lead to the finals. Will NBA champions like Jokic and Giannis dominate the playoffs again, or will emerging stars like Anthony Edwards and Jason Tatum solidify their names in NBA history? The playoffs are where legends are made, and TNT will make sure you don't miss a moment of the action. Tune in to TNT's coverage of the NBA playoffs presented by Google Pixel on TNT, True TV, and Max.
Played the most dangerous game yesterday.
Shopping on Amazon.
Wasn't anything like what Stu guys did with the
I'm trying to
like man's voice.
All the most dangerous games.
This one is legitimately the most dangerous game, boys. I don't know how many times you guys have been there. But yesterday I had the bubble guts here at the Clevelander studio.
That's dangerous.
Always dangerous. And so I went to the bathroom that's adjacent to the studio. Plop down. Comes out. Which is always a big achievement for me, given my intestinal history. Reach down to get some TP.
Oh, boy.
No TP.
Oh, no.
No TP in that bathroom.
They do have the roll of paper towels now, but that's like...
Thank God they did.
Rubbing sandpaper.
Because given what you know about my intestines, consistency varies from time to time. This was not one of those solid ones. And sheer panic.
Oh,
sheer panic.
Oh, it's terrifying, yeah.
Sheer panic overcomes me yesterday as I realized that not only do I need some TP, but I very clearly need a wash. Like, it's one of those. So I reach down, nothing there. I panic, sweating. And then I remember there's that roll of paper towels that is like sandpaper on that sink across the way, but I'm in the stall.
Somehow it's coffee stains. I don't know how that happened.
Well, it may not even be coffee stains after I get done with this. So I get up. There's no way to, because I didn't plan on this situation occurring. There's nothing in the stall that I can wipe with. So I have to get up, unlock the door, hope to God no one else is in there or no one else bursts in as I dart to the sink, take the entire roll with me, and I take it back to the stall.
Was there a fear of like crab? Because there's another bathroom on this floor, but nobody uses it. So was there like a thought to crab walk to that bathroom?
No. I was crab walking, thankfully, just to the sink. And the consistency of the everything was just bad. It was like the Avengers assembling of unfortunate events. And luckily, this roll of paper towels was there for me. Dropped it into the sink, which has an automatic sensor, and so the entire roll got wet because it's just this giant thing, and I was doing everything very quickly. But thankfully, I waddled back in here, fresh as a daisy, unbeknownst to anyone else, and I didn't have stains. However, it had me thinking, what would I have done had that roll of paper towels not been on the sink just outside the stall?
I mean, you could have called me. I could have like run downstairs and gotten some toilet paper.
It run through my mind. I was like, how am I going to, because it's an automatic faucet. So I'm like, do I have to turn my ass up and wave my hand underneath it?
Turn the sink into a bidet?
And splash it up? This was the first thought before, I could just call Witty.
Yeah.
Who was busy. But you were busy, but I also had a great deal of shame about it. And I didn't want...
It's not your fault there's no TP in the bathroom.
I didn't want to call you and be like, hey, can you do me a favor? I'm very vulnerable here. The more likely scenario I had painted in my mind was me lifting my bare ass to an automatic sink and flushing it out. But yeah.
I'm really okay. Like, it's okay that you have to take a shit during work sometimes.
Yeah. Chris, what would you... if you found yourself in that situation, what would you have done?
I would have done what you did.
Lift your ass to the sink? You wouldn't have thought to call?
No. I would have, like, that's just, you don't want to involve somebody else in something like that.
Yeah.
You just need to handle it on yourself.
Yeah, I don't want them to walk in and then they're going to make a comment like, whoa, what happened here?
No, I mean, I walk in, I leave it on the sink, and then I leave. It's that simple.
That would have been me at my most vulnerable, and you've seen me quite a bit at my most vulnerable, but never like that.
Do I need to start bringing? I'm a regular user of Dude Wipes. Do I need to start bringing those to work?
Wasn't there like a lawsuit involving Dude Wipes? I saw like, if you've used Dude Wipes, please call this number.
Oh, is it like a mesothelioma
thing? I love Dude Wipes. I was about to say I love mesothelioma, but Dude Wipes is an incredible invention. Has that ever happened to you guys? Be stuck at a place that doesn't have TP and you got to figure it out?
Yeah. I mean, in public bathrooms before. I mean, you just got to I mean, hope that the coast clears at some point to use another stall, but it's terrifying. Oof.
No, yeah. I've never had that happen.
I was, because it's locked. The thing is locked there. So my hand is just like, oh my God, like, please be some TP.
Is there a thimble full of TP there?
Come on, Jesus Christ, no.
That's what I think. I think the worst that's ever happened to me is I had like one square of toilet paper and I was just like, I got to make this work.
It's just impossible.
There's
you
no
did
way.
Not make one square of toilet paper work. That this story is just not true.
No, I mean, I'm
you're MacGyver of shitting
successfully. I'm not saying I did it successfully. I'm saying that's I think the biggest conundrum I've ever been in is having very little toilet paper.
Walk me through what you do with one square.
Yeah, what even would you do with one square?
You fold
of toilet?
It up. You fold it up so you can have
you
multiple
grab?
Layers.
But what do you grab? Like, do you grab it with, like, your middle finger and your thumb, like, kind of, like, you were barely trying to hold on to a hair,
you know?
Were you going just, like, corners on the paper and then folding it a little bit at a time?
I think you accept that the hands at this point, you're going to have to wash your hands.
So I don't think this happens.
I'm telling you, it did.
By the way, Dude Wipes were sued, not for any problem with the product, but there was a county who basically said it was clogging their plumbing system.
Oh, that makes sense.
That they weren't actually flushable.
Did they say they were flushable? Yeah, because there's a flushable wipe. What I love from Dude Wipes is the shower in a bag. Because I've used that after soccer sometimes. I'm out now. I had like three samples that they sent to the radio station back in 790, and they held over so well. There are times that I go from soccer to boat day, and it does the trick. Don't do the mistake of working your way up, though. You got to start at the head, work your way down.
Ooh.
Yeah. There's a little advice.
I didn't realize there was a tactic there.
Yeah. You don't want to work your way up. You address, it's a natural instinct to address the more hot regions of one's body first. Avoid that. Start at the face. Work your way down.
Seems like there's been some innovation here in the realm of shower wipes. There's a company now called Shower Pouch that does this. It's $50, though, for a 10-pack, so it's got to be...
Pays for itself, I'm telling
really?
You. Really? I'm telling you, do that. That's a great industry. If you're on an airplane on a long flight,
ooh,
I'm telling you, like that day that we went to the Inter-Miami game, and I went straight from the game to Miami,
yeah,
wearing the exact same sports coat. You want to be able to shower in that bathroom.
or like when we flew across the Atlantic Ocean and then immediately went to Wembley Stadium.
Precisely. You don't want that shower in a bag.
What order do you guys clean yourself in the shower? Like, what's
balls first. Balls first. Which
really?
Is, yeah,
not
yeah.
Me.
I start at the hot zones. Because you've seen those graphs, right? Where naturally the water cleans you the most and there's like a hot zone where you have to... Mm. Really get to washing. So I start there. I rinse and then I move about to the arms. It's just my natural instinct to start at what I deem the filthiest places. You're going to have to fight that instinct when it comes to the Dude Wipes because then you're wiping your face with your ball sweat. Just telling you how it is.
I'm going to reveal something that's very odd about myself.
I love it.
I have a bar of soap that's just for the hot zone. I don't use it for anything
else.
How do
you play?
It is my hot zone bar of soap.
That weird.
I use more of like a loofah, but it's just for that.
Ah, just so that I should have a second loofah just for the hot zone.
I have
zone.
Two loofahs.
I hope they're different colors.
Toofahs.
They are.
But not from use.
What color is your ball loofah?
Boofah.
Yellow.
That makes sense. Did you color code it like
it
that
start?
On purpose?
It was white a few months ago. No, I honestly changed the ball loofah gets switched out like every couple weeks.
Yeah.
My wife is very into switching loofahs. That like because of my wife, my loofah game is kept up pretty good.
So before that you were like, you know, every year you changed out
no,
your loofah?
Honestly, before my wife, dude, my showering habits, I was like a barbarian before I met my wife. I was like using a bar of soap. Just all over my body. Never met a loofah till I met my wife.
Although we probably do overuse chemicals and body wash and shampoo and things like that. Like we don't actually need to probably. I mean, unless you're like a you know a roofer, you probably don't need to go in with like full on chemicals every day.
Yeah. My wife makes fun of how much soap I spray onto loofah. She's like, you know, you just need very little onto that loofah and you get plenty of soap. And I need
full foaming. It's got to be full foaming action
I
everywhere.
Like I decorate a whole cake on the loofah.
Yeah.
Howdy, folks. It's Mike Ryan. I'm living the gimmick right now. The playoffs have already gotten me, and we're a couple of days into it. It's like a playoff equinox that's going on right now. It's ridiculous. And if you're like me, you like rooting on your team. Trust me, I just bought 3 for my wife, daughter, and myself for game 1. I live it. Because I've been out there. I've been out in those streets. I've been panicking last second trying to find deals. And then when I eventually settle on something, I'm not sure if it's the lowest price out there, and I'm getting just totally blitzed with surprise fees. Well, thankfully, Game Time takes that out of the equation. All the fees are up front. There's no surprises. You get to see what your seat looks like. It's amazing, the technology we have these days. But Game Time has your back always. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app right now, create an account, and use code DAN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code DAN for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute deals, lowest price, guaranteed.
I get it.
Vaccination shot.
Shots. I want that zine in my blood.
A lot of people are now calling it a poke.
How do we feel about the Facebook poke?
I used to get in poke wars.
Oh, it's the best.
Yeah. Does it still exist? Probably not, I don't know, honestly.
The weirdest thing, Facebook, yes, it does.
I hope it does.
Like a random poke from like a random person from high school. It's like, why are you poking me?
Why don't you just say hi?
So I realized recently that my 10-year high school reunion just passed by, and it would have been probably during the pandemic, but like
10 years, Jesus.
Has social media just killed the whole concept of reunions? Like, do you guys like even participate in that anymore?
I bought tickets to one if like I'm older than you, so it was a few years ago, and it didn't ever happen.
I got my money back. The thing though, Woody, that you have to do, which is like kind of annoying because of social media, is you have to kind of pretend that you don't know what everyone's up to. So like you go and you're like, oh, what are you up to? Oh, you have kids? Wow. Like I didn't know that.
So
and
you
it's
two
like,
got well, married, huh? Wow.
Yeah. It's like, well, you've liked photos of my children. Like I've completely forgot. Wow. What are you up to now? What do you do for work? And it's like, you know, the answer to all of these questions.
You might be offending these people. You might be offended.
No.
But how else are you going to make conversation?
Yeah, exactly. What are you
going to
say?
Just hit him with a blanket. What's new?
So I saw you got a new Toyota Sequoia, huh? How's that going?